Get ready for a game changer. Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sarah will bring you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Now here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and you're listening to Conscious Business Radio on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Africa, as a lot of people know, and other third world countries are struggling with corruption. A lot of what keeps them from developing into a first world nation is the corruption that is occurring everywhere, whether it's just, lack of records or government officials that are corrupt, or it's the local chiefs. There's all sorts of issues there in Africa. And one of the big problems that they're finding is the land that's there is not recorded. Africa has the most arable land in the world, meaning land that can be developed for crops. And as such, a lot of big international investors and foreign investors are coming in and wanting to use that land for purposes of development. But what they're finding is that they're either A, doing land grabs and just taking and hurting a lot of the people that are there, or they're doing, somebody who owns it will sell it twice to somebody, and then they end up being in the courts for a long time, and it ends up being unresolved and costing everybody a ton of money. So as part of that, Africa is having a hard time developing properly, getting outside investors in, because a lot of investors don't want to mess around with that. Or the big international investors will come in and just take land. And when they take land, that completely disrupts the local communities. There's unequal power relations between governments and foreign investors. It creates food insecurity, all sorts of issues that are going on. And there is a company called Bitland that is using blockchain technology, the stuff that you hear about for Bitcoins, and they're applying it to be able to record and survey and record deeds of land and really clean up the corruption that's going on with land in Africa. And they have their first site that they're working on is in Ghana. And Ghana is not as corrupt as others, and the government is more willing to work with them. So they've come into Ghana, and they're setting this up. And it should be a really good prototype for going into other countries as well, as other countries see how well this works and how it brings more prosperity to everyone. And Bitland, the name of the company, is winning all sorts of awards. They recently received the 2016 Net Expo Award, which identifies 10 startups around the world for innovative technology. So they are really on the move. A lot of big media outlets are starting to pay attention to them. And we have Elliot Hedman, who's the chief operating officer there, to come onto the show and talk to us about what they have going on, how they're using blockchain, how it works, and what problems they're trying to solve in Africa. And then after we do that, we'll be speaking with Lou Altman. He is the CEO of Next Level, and he's going to be talking about running a business backwards, what that means and how that can help you avoid a lot of mistakes, and also how to have different techniques to build client retention over the long term. So we have a really good program lined up today, and now we're going to welcome Elliot Hedman to the program. Hi, Elliot. Welcome to the program.
How you doing there, Sarah? Thanks for having me.
Well, you guys have a really interesting thing that you're working on as far as with land ownership, and you're trying to resolve corruption with land ownership. Can you explain what corruption you're talking about?
Okay, well, in most systems, whether you're talking about, the industrialized world or in the third world, there's a lot of, there's a lot of shenanigans that go on with how people own their land or how it's reported. Okay, because as long as you have people in the system or bureaucracy that runs the system, whether we're talking about the average Joe that owns the land versus the local government versus someone's national government, there's a lot of holes to where, you know, somebody could be, you know, imparting their influence in a negative way, you know, throughout that entire system.
So give
and
me,
that's very, 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 oh, go ahead.
Give me an example.
Like right now, you know, for our business, our pilot program is going on in Ghana. Okay. And then a lot of African countries, you know, they operate on a totally different way of owning land and then leasing land and or renting land than we would here in the United States. Very few individuals are actually landowners there. Most of the land, I want to say close to about 79 to 80% of the land is owned by what they call the school, which is your local chief. So that local level actually owns most of the land. Okay.
Okay.
The other 10% to 12% is owned by what you consider their federal government, which leaves a tiny little sliver to what we would consider as the common man. Now, the corruption portion comes into play because, you know, sometimes those local leaders will double deal, especially when it comes to foreign owners of land. Like, if, you know, we were a company, we wanted to invest in, you know, a parcel of land, whether or not we wanted to put a house on it, whether we wanted to do a shopping mall or anything. They'll sell that land twice.
Oh, and then what happens?
Or they get their money, and then everybody else is kind of just left to, you know, fight the dispute, you know, whether it is within their legal system or in their customary system. And that's
a mess.
Issue because, oh, go ahead.
It's a mess.
Yes, it's an absolute mess. So what we can do, and the idea behind Bitland is what we're doing, is we're taking just a little bit of technology that already exists right now. Granted, it's cutting-edge technology relatively, and all we're doing is creating a ledger, an immutable, you know, transparent ledger that once that document is inputted into the system and signed by all three parties, you know, it becomes immutable and you can't change it. And it's always there.
How does that differ from just a database that can't alter? How does that differ from just a database that you can't alter?
Pretty much it's all about how it's permissioned. Because most databases now, whether it's a digital registry or not, there's a central authority that adjudicates everything that goes into or out of that system and handles those permissions. When you use what we consider as blockchain technology, that there is no central authority. The central authority is completely decentralized. So everybody who is a part of the system propagates the system itself. So the government can't just go in and change a record at a whim. Like, you could do that in the United States. Like, if they so chose to, the powers that be could, like, you know what, we're changing this right now. And they don't have to tell you.
Does that happen in the United States? Do we have problems where someone just loses their land?
Oh, yeah. Those disputes happen all the time. Not as egregious and not to the effect that it can happen, you know, in some of these other countries where they don't have the infrastructure. Because we relatively have, you know, we have strong land administration. And these other countries, they have land issues, land disputes, but then their federal or national governments have weak land administration. Therefore, they can enforce relatively nothing. At least for us, if there is that dispute, we can go to court and hash it out. Granted, we have to pay the court money to make sure things happen, but we still have that. We have that option. And some of these countries, they do not.
Well, so your first country that you're working in is Ghana, and is Ghana?
That is correct.
Now, are they one of the worst countries in South Africa or in Africa?
No, they're not. Like Ghana's. Actually, you know, they sit on what we would consider like a cut above most, you know, but it's where we can do and impart the most efficiency to almost carry them over a hump to becoming, you know, not necessarily a world power, but on the world stage economically.
So you're getting
one of the things.
The government's working with you better over there, and you don't have a lot of obstruction when it comes to Ghana.
Correct.
And that makes that makes a huge difference.
It does. And we've taken time, like, you know, Bitland as a thing, we've been around for 2 years now, but we're just starting to make the noise now because we've made those inroads and we've gotten those connections and we've been in the local communities there. And we had to make sure that this is a country or a place that actually wants a system like this, you know, instead of building as you're going and then trying to make those relationships. It works better for everyone if everyone's in the know that this could possibly or is coming. And that's worked in our favor.
Well, how does your technology work? How does blockchain work to solve the problem?
Well, you know, like I said, it's kind of new, but, you know, a lot of people have read on the news that, you know, it's a big thing right now is what, you know, we've all heard of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Now, the technology that is behind Bitcoin, which is just a transparent, immutable, decentralized ledger, that is what powers what Bitland and what a lot of these, you know, other companies like ours are trying to do. We're taking that concept and then we're applying that to what we call legacy systems, like the paper systems or a strict permission, you know, centralized database, because you can't get to our information. It's pretty much behind lock and key, which is secured not just because you have triple vaulted walls, because there's a data center, you know, like in San Antonio or in Houston. You know, it is propagated by everyone on the network itself.
Well, how do you know that it can't be hacked, though?
Because it's in the nature of the beast that it cannot be, because all it is data put on the ledger.
Well, can't they go into the ledger and change it? Can a hacker?
No.
Why?
Because that's the beauty of the smart contract, and that's what we call them, are smart contracts, is that all you cannot change them. The only way that they're changed is that you have to make another one. You have to make what we consider another transaction for something to change.
Okay, so basically the original can't be changed. You have to create a new one. Well, can a hacker create a new one?
No, because within our system, it takes three parties to agree to create that contract. You need the end user, what would we consider the end user. So you're, say, the property holder, you know, within the BitLand system. Then the next one, as it goes up the chain, that would be the local leadership. So your chief, that person has to sign off. And then finally, the federal government or the national government would be the third part to sign off.
Could a group of hackers just act like they're each party?
Nope.
Why?
They cannot, because everybody has a specific personal, you know, you have your own hash code. And that can't be, can't be changed. The only way that somebody can get that is if you had it written out on paper and you showed it to them.
And it's not like a password where you could guess what it was?
Nope.
Okay. So, well, how are you planning on building out the infrastructure to make this work, especially there? I mean, where are you getting the funds?
Well, that's cool. I mean, we just finished, I want to say last month, within the crypto space, we do crowdsourcing and we do crowdfunding. So we created a digital token, you know, that would be considered something like a Bitcoin or something like Ether from Ethereum. You know, it's our token, it's our coin. And then we distributed that in a crowdsourced manner, as in we took in money and we handed the token.
So you have enough now, tokens, do you have enough money now to build out the infrastructure for Ghana?
For right now, yes.
Excellent.
For right now,
so
yes.
What does this infrastructure, what is it? I mean, what do you need to run this?
Well, first things first is that we wanted to have education centers, because people have to have a centralized place to come to learn about what we're doing and to handle kind of any kind of issues they have locally. So right now we're in the process of building our first BitLand Center, which will double as our offices here within the next, 4 to 5 months, when some of us go down there and open up shop and make sure that things get done properly. You just need an internet connection. That's the beauty part of the situation.
Well, do you need servers?
But then obviously, say that again?
Do you need servers?
Of course.
Okay.
Like, we would have to have internet, we would have to have servers, we would have to have power, you know, access to clean water, obviously. And in some of those countries, you know, those things could be issues. But that's part of what we do. This isn't just a blockchain or technological initiative. You know, we want to bring all of those things, you know, as we modulate and bring other, you know, aspects of BitLand online.
No,
you know, we bring people in.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, the first step is getting people to sign up for the registry, which is just over the internet. And then we need the education portion. So we're going to need each city that we go into, or let's say each country that we go into, we're actually setting up, we're actually setting up NGOs, you know, non-government organizations, you know, kind of like what we would consider as a non-profit organization.
Okay.
So the first one is already set up, and that's BitLand Ghana. So say we're already in talks with, like, you know, maybe Nigeria wants this kind of solution, so we do BitLand Nigeria. Then we do BitLand Benin or BitLand USA, because each place we go into is going to have their own specific set of, you know, challenges and requirements, you know, with the law, with the people, with their traditions, histories, whatever, to make it work.
How do you see this helping the local community besides people selling their land to two different places? You know, that was a good example.
Well,
but how will it specifically help the people there?
Investment. One of the biggest problems with some of these countries, and the reason why, you know, the money isn't pouring into areas to help that end user, or they can't grow their crops because they don't have the irrigation system that they need, or what have you, is because there's no confidence in those markets, in those real estate markets. So if you're an outside investor and you see that Ghana is the number one producer of cocoa on the face of the planet, right now that is true. Like, pretty much, you know, all of our chocolate comes from there.
Yeah,
you know, they also
that,
have
that should
one of
be
the
a
best.
Big market. They should be getting a lot from that.
It should be.
But why
that makes farmers, right?
Yeah, but why are they not?
Because it's confidence in the real estate market. Nobody's going to want to buy a farm or put money into a farm when even the boogeyman, even a shadow of some of these things exists. So our job is to kind of mitigate those things and then put that on the stage so then we add that layer of trust. So then people will open up their wallet and then, you know, foreign investor or national investors will be able to put money into those systems to get those, you know, to get them over the hump.
Sure.
And so the resources are there.
Well, do you...
But you've got to unlock the land.
Do you see that the local people will be able to keep control of their resources with this kind of situation?
Because, yes. Yes. And like I said, it takes a lot of different parts of this machinery to make those things happen. Now, Ghana is, like, singular because, you know, they are already set up infrastructure because they're looking towards that happening. This is just one of the hang-ups. We can fix one hang-up, and then everybody else is ready to work together and be on the same page. I think we can go crazy.
That would be really great. What other areas around the world do you think could benefit from the solution? All the different countries in Ghana, or in Africa, and how about Asia?
Pretty much all of Africa, yes. Well, let me paint a picture for you. Okay, now if we talk about rural land, like arable land, like farmland, okay, the continent of Africa holds 76 to 78% of all of the arable land on the face of the planet. Okay, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just call that 3/4 of all the farmland is in Africa. Okay, now here's the problem. 68% of that land is undocumented.
Well, isn't Africa, isn't Africa a lot bigger than what the map shows?
Yes, it is.
Aren't maps made like out of proportion? And Africa's actually really big.
I mean, you got to go there and experience things like that to see it. Like,
well, no,
the world
but
is
I mean,
way bigger than a globe. Yeah.
Well, no, not just that, like in a metaphor, but actually the map, Africa is out of proportion on a map usually and on a globe, and it's really big.
Honestly,
you don't know
don't
the answer
know.
To that? Okay. Yeah, listeners should look into that because I was watching a documentary about that, and Africa's actually a lot bigger than how it's represented on the maps. But anyway, it's not to scale, which is really weird.
Well,
but
my thing is I've been to some of the countries in Africa, and it's all huge. You know, my background, I did a lot of traveling. You know, I love to go places, love to see the culture, love to eat the food, of course. But everything is so much bigger to me because I've seen it. You know,
sure.
I've grabbed the dirt.
Well,
I've smelled the smells and I've met the view.
Well, and let me restate this. A map would have things to scale, right? But not like a globe or something that's my understanding. Now, if I'm wrong, someone needs to correct me about this. But I found that is really fascinating. But anyway, so go back to you're talking about Africa.
Oh, yeah. So like I said, you know, we almost have 3/4 of all the farmland in the world is in Africa, and 2/3 of that, you don't even know where it is because it's undocumented. You don't know who owns it. Therefore, that person, that thing, that entity is not doing as much as it could be for
so
either themselves
or their
local.
So who ends up owning it then if it's undocumented? What ends up happening? Because you're still going to have that same issue in the beginning.
Exactly, but we're actually going to go to these places and reach out, and that's part of Bitland that people don't see. Like, it's our task not just to create a digital registry, but to reach those places and document that land before it's either, A, taken from them, or if something else is truly going on. And once we get it documented, that's the beginning of, you know, the cascade of what we could possibly be doing to the rest of the world.
Well, who's the default owner of land that nobody knows who owns?
The government, or whoever that local chief is. Like, it exists. But it's not being used. It's not being used to better the individual. It's not being used to really better, you know, the local or, you know, their national government. It's being used, you know, to, you know, line pockets of people that we don't know, we haven't seen.
Well, now, are other countries starting to communicate with you and saying, hey, we could really benefit from this?
Yes, and that's the cool part. That's the really cool part. Like, when we started doing some conferences, we started getting a little bit of press. You know, we've like, you know, countries like Nigeria has reached out through multiple echelons. We're talking, you know, whether it's their government people or just people that are movers and shakers business-wise within these countries. So, you know, there's a lot of Africa trying to talk to us right now. And there's, you know, South America. There's a couple countries there, too, that are talking to us right now as well.
Now, do you see...
And we're,
Do you see there being conflict with you coming in? Because some of these people are using it for their benefit, right? To control others and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you see some countries being a major issue? Like, we probably shouldn't go into them yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way I see it is kind of like, you know, there was, like, if we look at the United States, you know, in the history of the United States, the history of any country, really, especially in young history, we see that there can be corruption. There can be what we consider organized crime, you know, extortion, strong arms, racketeering, you know, people lining the pockets of politicians, you know, to get their, you know, objective through. But as things evolve, what seems to always strike me is that all of these places, the United States included, once everybody figures out you can actually make more money working together and being legit, then those things kind of tend to fade into the background and
those
become
people
not
start
necessarily
coming.
Yes.
The majority of the people start going, and there's too much, not enough resistance. The bad apples just go away because they have too much resistance from everywhere.
Or they go legit because, honestly, they can make more money and it's easier to protect your money if you're not getting brought up on RICO charges and you're not going to jail. And I think that's one of the biggest parts. Once the playing field is even and level, and we can hopefully mitigate some of the nasty and make the system a little bit more efficient and easier for people to get a hold of it, I think it'll be more than a good thing in more than one area.
So
like,
we're
not just talking about land here.
Now, are you working with the local governments, the local chiefs and things to get this implemented, or are you doing it at the national level? More with
like
the
I said, the reason why we have it broken down into those three echelons as an end user, the local and what they would consider as the national government, is because that's our philosophy. You gotta get the people first. Then you gotta get the people who lead the people on a small scale first. Then you have to get the people who lead the people on a greater scale after that.
So you have support from Ghana at a national level, and then you went in and got support at the ground level.
Mm-hmm. Or vice versa. Because our CEO, Narigamba Wensubo, he's a Ghanaian national. And he was working this angle for a while, and that was before I even came on board with Bitland.
Okay.
So he's a Ghanaian national in the Kumasi region, so he's been doing the running around. He's gone, with educators to 28 different communities, villages, communities, whatever, and talked about, the benefits and everything that could be cool about blockchain technology and what that could mean for their people. So that was started. That ball started rolling, over 2 years ago.
Well, that sounds really.
And now it's,
what other solution? Bitcoin and blockchain, and now you're starting to do land. Tracking land and who owns it. But what other solutions can you use with blockchain technology? Because it sounds like there's just a ton of different uses to really change and really make things safer and less open to corruption.
It's less open to corruption, but it's just giving, what we consider what we're doing with Bitland, we call it democratizing land. You can democratize anything with the blockchain because, number one, it's transparent. So everybody's going to see those transactions. Granted, they might not know who's behind that, behind that transaction or behind that wallet, as we call them, but you can see where it goes. So if you have a giant pot of money, you got $1 million and it's stashed in there by this amount of wallet, and then it starts moving around, and then if you tell people that we're going to take some of our money, we're going to invest it in land here, and we're going to invest it in gold here, they're going to see that money going out to those places, and it becomes completely audible. Like, immediately. It's visible.
Sure.
So instead of having to go to, ask your partner, who could be, the poison pill, or a bank could be the poison pill at that point, or somebody in that machinery could, just be not dealing genuinely, they're caught out immediately. Because you'd see the transaction, what was this, $100,000 payment for? Right here, this one. And you can track it down in real time. You don't have to ask questions.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
And that's just the money issue. There's a lot of other places and things that could be. And like I said, it has to be responsible because you still want to have ejection seats or, where you can hit the button and stop the presses immediately. You don't want to get rid of all human interaction, because there always should be that, that thing there instead of going all computerized or all automated. But there's so many things in our daily lives that could be used or could be made more efficient, by the blockchain. And if you can save money in any one of these areas and have people put that back into their businesses, you know what I'm saying? If we take a legacy system and we institute a blockchain solution for them and all of a sudden they save, $100,000 a year, then they could be doing more for themselves and more for their customers.
Yeah, exactly. They can save money. So how can people learn more about what you're doing? You've been winning the international awards, and you're really getting a lot of good press on this. How can people learn more about you? How can other governments learn more about this?
I mean, you can come right to our website, bitland.world, and check us out.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You also have...
We're going into our, you know, like this kind of weird conference schedule, too.
We need to take a short station break, and we'll be back with Elliot Hedman in a moment.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is world-renowned for its wide array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team's mission is to provide you with fresh, organic, premium-quality maca powders at a fair price. Amazing. All of the products are always organically grown, fair-traded, GMO-free, fresh, and potent. So don't take my word for it. Experience the life-changing benefits of maca today. Visit themacateam.com.
There are so many resources out there for meditation. But did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Badili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's ATANAMethod.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Pat. I am so thrilled. I've had the honor of working with Leslie Fontaine for the past year or so, and what she has created in her hit program, Sheer Alchemy, transcends what most of us get to listen to or hear in any point in time in our lives. But beyond that, Leslie is working with people all over the world, and she has created something phenomenal based on the feedback and input from the Archangels, from the Ascended Masters, from the light beings, and most importantly, from each and every one of you. So if you want to change your life, if you're ready to step into your own version of Sheer Alchemy, please give Leslie a call at 678-665-3366. And why? Because this is what you're going to be prepared to do. Be amazed, and on your part, connect with the Ascended Masters that are there to help you custom make the life that you are meant to live.
A word of caution. If you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
And we are back to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and we're chatting with Elliot Hedman from Bitland about blockchain technology used to end corruption on land ownership in Africa. And let's rejoin that interview now.
I would like to tell everybody and you, you know, we were about to quit in January. I guess no lie. We were about to give up. You know, we're done.
Why?
You know, we weren't gaining traction how I thought we were. It was just a lot. You know, we have 5 guys.
Startups a lot, yes.
Yeah, we got 5 guys, and we're trying to, you know, we're trying to do this thing and possibly change the world. That's a lot to shovel onto, you know, the shoulders of 5 people. You know, even, you know, our vast backgrounds and where we come from and how we operate, it was a lot, you know, and we just weren't feeling it. You know, we figured that, you know, maybe it's time to go, you know, back to the day jobs or whatever we did and maybe put it on the back burner for a while. And then an email came through. And then we found out that, you know, we're supposed to be going to Paris, you know, to pick up an award. And it was an Expo award. It was, like, arguably the most surreal thing that's happened to me and, you know, to the Bitland team in a long time. Because we didn't, it's not like we signed up to be identified. Like that organization had spotters. And they saw what we were doing. Because, one, it was in Africa. 2, it was technology. And 3, it was about people. Relatively.
Well, you can solve some major issues that people really need, yeah. And you can bring – it's a foundational element that can build up development in a country that really needs it and help people.
Very much so. And we don't want to – and like I said, we don't want to stop there because I think there's something – you know, there's blockchain something for everyone in every country, big, small, rich, poor. It doesn't matter. There's something to be gained by being more efficient.
Yeah, exactly. Well, awesome. Keep up the good work. Keep working hard on this. I know startups are so hard. There's always a point where you're just like, oh, gosh, I don't want to do this anymore. And then when things start, people start patting you on the back and things start coming around, it's just so rewarding.
And like I said, that's where we are now. Like I said, we had that first conference back in February. You know, they flew us out to Paris. Like, we accepted our award. We were on stage with some big names, and, you know, in the blockchain and just in the business world, you know, in the startup world. And that has snowballed into what we're staring on the pipe at right now. Like, you know, Chris Bates, who is our chief security officer, and myself, we're going back to Paris in a week because we're going to be speaking and talking at the Viva Tech conference. That's crazy. Like, that's not supposed to happen to normal people.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Oh, I said, and then in July, we're going to be on the West Coast in San Francisco, you know, for another, and that's D10E, and we're going to be talking there. And that's, like, huge. All the big names in my blockchain are going to be there. And what's crazy is, like, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, nobody knew about us.
Well, you know, yeah, but nobody knew about how it works. All of a sudden, the light goes on, and everybody knows about you. You start really,
yep.
And now starts being the hottest thing.
Yep, and now for us, yep, it's go time, you know.
Well, good for you, and I'll put your information up on our radio page, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, and I was so, like, amazed that, you know, you would have me on your show. It was kind of, like, once again, like, I'm getting really lucky lately.
Okay.
It's just been that kind of year.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your stuff with us. I appreciate it.
Very much so, Sarah.
Okay.
I appreciate it, too.
Have a good day.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye.
If you want to learn more about Bitland, go to my website at sarahwestall.com and you can find their contact information there. Now we are going to be having Lou Altman come on, and he's going to talk about how you run your business backwards. So let's welcome Lou to the program.
Hi, Lou. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sarah. Glad to be here.
What do you mean by running your business backward? What is that about?
Running your business backwards. Here's the thing. It's a matter of who are the most important people you're selling to. Now, I learned about 30 years ago, showing my age, that if I wanted to get the Sports Illustrated football phone, I would not have to be the customer that I already was. I've been buying Sports Illustrated magazine for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. But they came out with a football phone. Now, it was a $4 little stupid piece of
junk
phone. But
it was cool to
wow,
you.
Wow. Huh?
It was cool to you at the time.
It was exactly right. It was cool to me. So I wanted one. And I called them up and I said, hey, I'd like one. No, new customers only. Well, that didn't seem to make any sense at the time. And then last fall, you know, just to fast forward, I got an offer from my cable company. For the exact same package that my wife, because the cable happens to be in her name, was paying $184 a month for, I could get it for $99 a month.
Exactly.
I personally had never bought anything from the cable company before. She had had that subscription for 10 years. So when I talk about running your business backwards, the question I always ask is, why do you give people who have never bought anything from you before a better deal than the people who have been buying from you for years?
Well, now here's the deal. When you got that cable thing, was that a temporary deal for her, the $99, or was it ongoing?
I think it was a two-year subscription.
Oh, so you could get it for a long period of time for $99, but your wife couldn't because she's already been there for 10 years.
Exactly right.
And that's what cell phone companies do all the time.
Absolutely right. That to me seems to be backwards. Now, if you want to retain your clients, you know, if you want to keep the customers buying from you, wouldn't it make more sense to give the people who've been with you the longest the best deal?
Well, I would think so. But now, do they lose profit margins by – they think that they're already there so they can just charge them as much as they can and they can make more money over the long haul? Or do you think that they lose more customers by alienating them when they see those packages?
Depending on the research that you go and you look at, and I've actually been spending a lot of time trying to find some, because I have a hypothesis that obviously I need some supporting documentation for before I go out to the world and say, hey, you ninnies, you're doing it backwards, you're doing it wrong. Here's my contention. It's just sort of the basic knowledge that everyone knows. It costs, what, 5, 6, 7 times, depending on who you ask, as much money to acquire a new customer than to keep the one you have. And I learned some interesting stats recently. I believe it was one of the cellular networks, their average cost of acquisition is $984. I saw another cell network that it's $315. So by those numbers, if you were to reduce, and let's just use the 984 because it really exemplifies what I'm saying. If you were to reduce somebody's bill by what would amount to $984 over 3 years, $300 a year, $25 a month, you're reducing their bill. What other network could ever compete with that? You know, come over to see us. Why should I? I'm paying less than you're ever going to charge me.
It just gives you such an advantage. Or you almost set it up like you do with incentives for employees. You know, you get your retirement fund if you stay here for 10 years.
Exactly right.
So if you're here for 3 years, you get 3 months free or something. Or you
get longer you're here, the better a deal you get.
Or you get a reward.
As opposed to, we don't know who you are, but you should get a better deal than people who are already buying from us. To me it just seems so dumb and short sighted.
Well,
because now your cost of acquisition is huge. Not only because of all the marketing and everything that goes into it, but you've cut your margin on the front end, on the first transaction.
Well, I think
cut
the
your
bigger,
margin on the think, last transaction.
Well, I think the bigger problem is that everybody's doing it. So what's happening is everybody's being incented to jump ship. I know that's like that in the cell phone industry. Everybody just jumps ship because, oh, geez, I can save 25% if I just go here. My service isn't that great anyways.
So what's the difference, right?
Yeah. So you go to another place and save 25%. And then the next time they jack it up and kind of mess with you, you go to the next place.
You go to the next one.
And so everybody's jumping around.
That was the credit card roulette that we all went through in what, the mid 90s?
Yes.
You know, they have a better rate, so I'm going to move to them. They have a better rate to move to them. The downside was that your credit rating got destroyed. You know, and you mentioned cell phone companies. You know, there's a network out there offering to cut your bill in half.
Yes. And so they're just they're cutting each other's throats, but they're in the long run, they're cutting their own, because when businesses operate like that, nobody has any loyalty to anyone.
Absolutely right. Well, and unless price is the only factor by which you're evaluating who you do business with. And what I mean by that is I recently got, you know, solicited by the company that's offering to cut your bill in half. You know, we can save you money. Well, some people would say, oh yeah, but you know what? I'm more about value than price. Because here's the thing.
Yes, I agree.
If my cell phone bill is half as much money, but it doesn't work where I need it to do, it's worth nothing.
Well, yeah, you would spend, there's a curve, right? I will spend 20% more to have better service, you know, this much better service. But if they're the same, then it's all about cost because their value is the same.
Absolutely right. And I would actually argue, given the profession I'm in, that it also depends on how you're treated once you're there.
Absolutely.
You know, the adage of you get what you pay for is...
But that's part of your value,
it's
right?
It's true.
That's part of the value. So they're what one treats you better, that's a higher value.
Absolutely right. And some people absolutely don't care. You know what? I'm saving. I know somebody who is willing to spend $50 to $60 more for an airline ticket for what should be about a 4-hour direct flight. Instead of spending, I'll just make up the numbers, $400 to fly from point A to point B. She will spend $50 less and fly and take, you know, 3 different legs.
Oh.
But you know what? It made your 4-hour flight 9 hours.
Everybody has different values.
But I saved $50.
Oh my God. Okay. But everybody has different values. You know, I look for the direct flight unless I can save.
Absolutely.
If I can save $500, I'm taking those legs. But if I can't, then I'm not. It depends on how much you save.
It all comes down to how much, in that example, how much is your time worth? Oh, by the way, did I mention that she was hauling two small kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then I might
not worth it to me. Not worth it to me for $200. No, thanks.
No. Well, you have three simple techniques to build client retention. What are they?
Well, I can't give you all my secrets. I actually have a lot more, but here are the three that I start with. And people ask me, you know, where do I start a retention program? Here's technique number one on the prospecting call. The first time you ever talk to somebody to try to interest them in buying from you, you have to build in the fact that you want to keep them for a long time. This is not just a one-shot deal. This is not just, hey, special offer, come in and you'll get the best price. That's a very short-lived promotional item because eventually that special price will expire. What I prefer to do is if you work with us, you know what? We're going to take care of you. We'll take care of you in terms of price because we're competitively priced, but our service will be better. We will take good care of you, get answers, someone will answer the phone, on and on and on. So that's the first one. That's before the person's even in the door. In order to do that, and this is technique number two, you really have to adopt a client mentality. And I differentiate customers and clients very simply. A customer is transactional. A client is relational.
Yes.
I buy gasoline and groceries as a customer from the store and the gas station. But when I go see my doctor or my accountant or my lawyer, I'm a client. You know why? Because they give me advice. And so I trust what they're telling me. It's the key to this is knowing who's buying from you, why they're buying what they're buying, and more specifically, why do they buy it from you? Why you over everyone else? Because if it's just price, then they're not going to last that long. Because in my view, customers are the last in the door. They want the lowest price. And when there's a better deal somewhere else,
exactly.
They're gone.
Whereas
so
clients.
Client,
yes.
Clients, you know, and here's one of the other things actually that I've found over the years. Clients, when you make a mistake, and we all do, clients are so much more forgiving. Oh,
because
you know, you messed up my invoice. Not a big deal. Okay,
they see you more as a peer. They see you more as a peer versus somebody that's there to service them. And,
exactly.
And so you're there together as a partnership doing the best you can for them.
Right. And you said the key word, partnership. You know, and it works particularly well in service industries and actually in the company I've owned for 17 years, Globophone. It's a satellite telecommunications company. We've got a 90% client retention rate, and our average life cycle is three times the industry average. Why? Because we do all these things. Because we remove this thing that you have to deal with in your telecom world that takes up maybe 3% of your business, but why would you spend 10% of your time on it? Hand it over to us. We deal with it. You know we know what we're doing. You're getting the results you want, and you're done. That's the client mentality. And then technique three, which I've just always believed in, give them substantial reasons to continue to buy from you. You know, everyone is out there. If you Google any of the products that my satellite company sells, everyone's out there saying, we have the best price, the lowest price, this and that. You know what? Big deal. Who's going to give me the most information, education, and value add so that I actually understand the implications? We're more focused on your result than just giving you the lowest price.
Well, if all you're going to do is compete on price, you're just in the commodity business and you're going to.
Absolutely right.
The chances of you staying in business, if that's all you're competing on, is not very high. You have to be really good, really efficient to just compete on price. And it's just, to me, I'm sorry, but it's not worth it.
I don't believe it is either. And it's not a business that I want to be in.
It might be worth it for some, but not for me. it's not a for me business.
Never been my business model ever. You know,
well, so, and it's awful. The people who buy from you simply on price are the ones that treat you the worst too, I think. And I think that's what you were saying. They treat you awful. They'll throw you away in a minute. It's just not a solid business foundation to build on.
And so to touch back on running your business backwards, you've spent how much money to bring them in? They didn't even last long enough to make up your cost of acquisition. because they were simply buying on price. Yeah.
And that's what you do when you're giving people the best deal. They're price buyers.
Absolutely right. They're going to kick the tires and kick in the shins and whine and hem and haw. You know, I get phone calls from people. They say, hi, I want to buy a satellite phone. Give me the best price. And my response is, well, our best price is really reserved for our best customers, our best clients.
And that's great.
I've got a Fortune 50 who's been with me since Y2K. I've been invited to their office on three particular occasions, as the retiring security director said to the new security director, this is Lou Altman. This is his satellite phone company. They're our provider. Don't ever think of using anyone else.
No, that's great.
Over 15 years.
That's what you want to hear.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely right.
Exactly right. Well, how can people see more of your work? Because this is great. This is what most entrepreneurs, most business leaders need to get their arms around.
Well, the best place to go is to my website, www.next-level.com. And on the site, you can see a couple of articles that I've written. I'm actually in the process of adding some videos and some sound bites and some just sort of quick recording things I've done that address a bunch of these topics. The best way to see my work in a shameless self-promotion is to hire me to come into your business and sit down and take a look at what you're doing. If you know your business isn't running quite right, let's play around with it and see what we find out.
Okay, so basically if they have the resources, they could hire you directly. Otherwise, they can go to your site and they can get good information there as well.
There's a ton of information there. Absolutely. Okay. And I designed it that way because I practice what I preach. If you're going to be a client of mine, even if you're not, there's valuable information there that you can download, read, use, do what you want. But when you want to get really deeper and serious and kind of understand a lot more and have an objective viewpoint, that's when you call me. I think I mentioned that I just spoke at Call Center Week. And the people who attended my program walked out with an action guide of their own making that they didn't really know they did, because I asked a bunch of questions and had them write the answers. But they now have an action guide to take back to their companies or their departments and start to implement some things.
Well, that's great.
I just believe in giving people value.
That's great. That's how you have to look at it, because if you give them value, then they're more likely to stay with you. And you give
Absolutely.
More. And just think about it. Give more than you probably will get in return, and then next thing you know, you're going to be getting a lot more in return.
It's simply karma.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Well, good. I'm going to have your information on my radio page and on my website,
Great.
And so people can reach you there. And thank you so much for being with us today, Lou.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Of course.
So if you want to get information on Lou, you can go to my website at sarahwestall.com, and you can find contact information there as well. And on my website, I have every show that I have done, past podcasts. I also blog and write up information about each show. So there's a lot of description and a lot of facts that are on my website. There's a lot of learning you can do on my website. So it's a great place, great resource for people. And remember, sarahwestall.com. And I hope everyone has a beautiful and wonderful day.
You've been listening to Business Game Changers with host Sarah Westall. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, as Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Pacific Time. And learn more about Sarah at sarahwestall.com today.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light, from author and healer Francine Vale, is available now. Through Francine's life story, we learn how imperative it is to love one another. Once this simple truth is learned, peace on earth will prevail. Song of the Heart is a life lived and a story told for this purpose. To learn more about Francine and her amazing gifts, or to order your copy of the book today, visit angelsandlightbeings.com.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Shine On Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedemann Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.